Okay, so Maran says in Shulchan Aruch, "Beracha sheniya avat olam." Okay. So the second beracha, which is made, is avat olam. Haga, the Rama adds, "Ahava rabba v'chein noagim b'chol Ashkenaz." He says the J-dubs, the minhag by the J-dubs, it's to say "Ahava rabba." Leino potechem pebaruch, mipnei shu simuchala birkad yotzer or, v'im hi potera et birkad Torah, ayin le'el. And if you want to know whether or not this works as a birkad Torah, see siman mem zayin. So we'll deal with that,
Isn't that just about kavana during that bracha?
Right, so we'll deal with that in a later shiur, but it's very interesting. So the siman in Shulchan Aruch opens up, and he says, "What do we got over here?" Well, the second beracha that we make is the bracha of Avat Olam, and the Rama says the Ashkenazim say Avar Rabba, and this is a bracha. Brachas Mucha L'Chaverta, which is also another subject that we'll talk about in a third coming shiur. And then there's the question of whether or not you need a Birkat Torah afterwards also. So there's these three things. So we have, if you remember, we spoke last week how the Sidur is moving parts. Right? It's not that the Sidur has to be said. But the implication is that there's this text that seems to have come down from heaven, and there it is. This is a book. Or now it's an app. But there's this book, and you have to open it up, and depending on the time, you have to say all the words in it. Each one of the different tefillot in there is in the Siddur for a reason.
But I mean, no one says that it's divine, no? Sure.
But the way people refer to it, they act as if it's like a canon, the closed canon, and what do we do? I say what's in this book. Oh. Like, well, why do I do it? I don't know, but you say what's in this book. Right, the goal of tefillah, and definitely you get that sense a little bit in school, in the chinuch that we get, is that this is a book. What do we do during tefillah? We say what's in this book. That's it, you know. And maybe you get a grade because you didn't go and tie someone else's tzitzit to a chair, or you didn't start a fist fight in the middle of tefillah.
I work as a minyan
monitor, right?
Yeah, in Flatbush. This morning after the tefillah, I told him about the tight seat to a chair.
Right, so you get a good grade. You come on time. You know, in different schools, maybe if you're dressed appropriately, also they'll give you a mark. If you didn't disturb. And the parents sometimes inevitably call and say, "How can you give a grade for tefillah?" He said, "It's not really a grade on tefillah itself. It's a grade just did you behave properly during tefillah." But the Siddur itself is, like we said, that these are moving parts. These are all pieces that are functional in nature. That each one of these paragraphs, these tefillot, have there's a function to them. I don't just say, that these berachot just because. Well, it was a good idea. It sounded like a good idea at the time. About 1,000 years ago, the Anshei Knesset HaGadol got together and said, you know what? I think there should be three berachot in the shacharit. We'll start off Yotzer Or, and we'll go Avat Olam. Then we'll finish up with Gal Yisrael, and put a little Shema and Shmona Esrei there. Ah, beautiful recipe for it. This is what I'm feeling. What are you feeling? Zachariah Malachi, how is it? You like that idea? They're like, yeah, we like this idea. What's going on over here? The fact that it was made into a certain amount of a canon, that it's supposed to fulfill a purpose. There are dinim to this. So the Shulchan Aruch opens up with the first halakha, and he says, okay, we're going to say Avat Olam. Right? The first thing is to say Avat Olam. It's the second beracha. Right? The second beracha, we talked about Yotzer Or last semester for quite a while. So we're going to say Avat Olam. Now this Avat Olam seems to do several things. On one hand, we know it's the second beracha. It's seems to be a beracha sandwich, because there's a previous beracha that we just said, so we don't need to start off with Baruch, and we'll talk about why that is and what that means again later. And there's also some other function to the nature of it, that it somehow performs a similar function to the Birchot HaTorah. How and why that would work, of course, we'll get to the Pratim, but just as the fact that Shulchan Aruch mentions it, that's already telling us something, that there are concepts that are taking place. Again, the Shulchan Aruch, it seems to be an end-user product. Right? We know the difference between end-user products and non-end-user products. We look at our line of Shulchan Aruch and we think it's like something that's written in the Daily Halakha. What we don't realize is that there's a whole bunch of things underneath the surface. And when you look at a line from the Shulchan Aruch, there are many, many things happening. We know, I hope we know, that there's a sefer called the Beit Yosef. Right? Beit Yosef is Maran, the Shulchan Aruch's codification of all of the applicable parts of Torah Shebe'al Peh into a legal code based off of the Tur, Rabbeinu Yaakov Baha Turim, the Tur, Yaakov ben Asher. Based on this code of the Tur, which we will actually look at in a second, so Shulchan Aruch codifies how the halakha comes down, and the procedure from the beginning till the end of this is what we have to do. And he says, ideally, you should learn the Beit Yosef, but not everybody has so much time. So I'm going to make a digest form, a summary of what I said in Beit Yosef, and we're going to call it the Shulchan Aruch. And the Shulchan Aruch gives you the bottom line of there are poskim that say the following, and poskim that disagree. And this is what I think you should do. Now the Shulchan Aruch is constructed in such a way that he's summarizing all these different issues. He's like reading, like the Havdil, but the abstract of a scholarly article. Well, we're going to say, okay, different subjects were exposed to pulled beef over the course of several lunches of the semester. The following factors were controlled. The following factors emerged as having divergent properties because of the effects of pulled beef on the gastroenterological systems of college students on Monday at 12 o'clock. So Shulchan Aruch Lavdil says, okay, this is entire, as we call Shakla Vatari, this entire discussion about what this beracha is, I'm going to give it to you in a line. You're supposed to say this beracha. What is this beracha? It's Ahavat Olam. What does it do? Well, it seems to have two, there are two functions that we know about it immediately. Number one, somehow or another, Ahavat Olam takes us from the world of Yotzer Or, right? The concepts that were expressed in Yotzer Or about Malachim and planets and all this like cosmic stuff. And somehow or another, what's the paragraph after Ahavat Olam? Shema. So somehow or another, it bridges conceptually. It bridges between the world of of Yotzer Or and the world of Shema. And it's somehow an introduction. So that's Beracha Shnia. Now, we say it's a Beracha Smucha L'Chaverta, right? So we know that it picks up. It seems that to a certain extent that there is not, as we call it in music, there's not necessarily a full cadence. There's a half cadence. Cadence is like a stop. It's like an atnach or a nachta versus a sof pasuk, right? We pause. But it seems that we don't need to start off the entire process of beracha again. So we have Ahavat Olam. So in the middle of the middle over here. And it leads us somehow or another into Shema. And somehow or another, this also connects us to the idea of Birchat HaTorah. So, let's look underneath the hood a little bit. Right? Let's look underneath the hood a little bit, and let's see what exactly is going on. Moreover, I would ask a question. It's an important question for us to ask. We say that Shulchan Aruch says that you say Ahavat Olam. And immediately the Rama says, and we say Ahava Rabba. What? Why is that? Why is the Rama writing in Krakow saying, we say Ahava Rabba? Why is that? We can't just say, because they're J-dubs, that's why. That's not a svara answer. So interestingly enough, the tour says Rachashniya plige be pichita Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Avarabanan Amre Avat Olam. Right? So Rav Yehuda says the name of Shmuel, you should say Avaraba. And Rabbanan say Avat Olam. So here already we have a rule, Yachid v'Rabim Halacha Kerabim, that if we have the majority of people, the majority of rabbis, that are said, the rabbis versus one opinion, so then it should be we should follow the rabbis, not this one rabbi. Upasak Rav Hilfes Kerabbanan ve'gonim hichriu lomar shacharit Avaraba ve'arvid Avat Olam latseti deshnehem ve'chen noagim bashkenaz. Right, so what happens? He says he takes us into a time machine, and he says, "Okay, the tour says let's go back a little bit. Let's go back to the times of the Gemara. There was an argument. The argument is, well, what is the beracha? Is it of the Gemara, already introduces the fact maybe that the beracha is Ahava Rabba? And then counters and says, no, it's Ahavat Olam. So what do we do? So it seems that that already in the time of the Geonim, who are the Geonim? The Geonim are the time after the mysterious Rabbanan Savurai, right? The mysterious Rabbanan Savurai, who lived right after the time of the Gemara, and before the Rishonim. So there we have the Geonim. The Geonim were the great rabbis of the Surah of Pumadita, to continue the Talmudic tradition, the communities that were there in the Middle East. These are the Geonim. Around the turn of the millennium. Leading up to the turn of the millennium. So what happened? The Geonim make a hachra. The Geonim, they make a decision. Even though the Gemara says, no, there's this idea of Avra Rabba. And the Rabbanan say no. But the Geonim say, you know what? We will be Yotzei Yidishtehem. The Ashkenazim say, so you say Avar Rabbah during the morning, Avat Olam at night, and there you've killed two birds with one stone, or at least it would stick. I mean, well, what at the same time say, well, wait a minute. If you're telling me never say Avar Rabbah, and now you're saying say Avar Rabbah once, That sounds like you're just wrong. It's like the hachra'ah with the mezuzah also, right? Mezuzah, the Ashkenazic minhag is to go and put the mezuzah on a slant. And the people say, well, what's that? Why do they do that? Because it's the machloket arishonim. How do you put the mezuzah on the doorpost? It seems to be a similar machloket, by the way, it's a Rashi Rabbeinu Tam. How you also put the mezuzah? You put the parshiot in tefillin, and also how you put the sefer Torah. And we see this even by Ashkenazim Sfaradim also, that the Sfaradim, they have their sefer Torah standing straight up, and their mezuzot straight up. Harambam also, there's the mezuzah straight up. I don't remember if the Yemenite Torahs are also straight up. They're lying down. And Ashkenazim, they have their Sifrei Torah lying down. So, as not to what's called to contradict either which opinion, so that they say, okay, put it on the slant. Now the Gra says that you don't get anything, because it's not lying down, it's not standing up. Either it should be standing up, because according to one Shita, that's most respectful. And the others say, no, that's not respectful. It's called kivrat chamor, that you bury a donkey standing up. That's not respectful, so you should lie the scroll down. So they'll say, no, that's not respectful. It should be standing up. So those are the two, that's Rashi Rabbeinu Tam. And the Rambam, and Rashi, it should be vertical. And the Rabbeinu Tam says it should be horizontal. So here too, it seems like you're not making anybody happy. For the person who says Ava Rabba, well then you're only doing this once. The person who says Ava Olam, so you're also, it's not helping. So what happens is that so the Rif has a different nusach. Rif pasach avot olam and mayim begemar avot Rif. I'm quoting from the Aruch Hashulchan who quotes the Rif. Yireish shiner nuscha begemar al Rif begemar garsinan tani nami hachi ein omri ma'ava olam ela ava rabba. But Rif garsinan tani nami hachi ein omri ma'ava rabba tanya ela avat olam. So he does it the other way around. The Rif's girsa is backwards, or our girsa is backwards. Whereas the Rif says that the our Gemara says you say avat olam. You don't say avat olam. You say avar rabba. The Rif says no. You don't say avar rabba. You say avat olam. So it would seem to be backwards, according to the Rif. So that's why there are those who are we.
This is their two different.
So as a result, the Geonim are Machri and say, okay, out of tribute to one Gersa, we'll say this one. And out of tribute to the other Gersa, we'll say the following. Now, it's interesting. I don't know if you've ever heard Rishon, the Abudraham, right? Abudraham, Abudraham from Spain, right? He was a great Rabbi David Abudraham. He wrote a commentary on the Sidur. I never saw him in the Chumash, but on the Sidur, he goes through the entire Sidur and shows you, he brings dinim, he's a Rishon, he brings dinim, and he also shows you where, he says that every one of the parts of Tefillah are based on Pesukim. And I'm going to show you where the sources are for every single thing in the Sidur. And he goes through. So he says that he says that there's a machloket at Geonim. So Mar Bar Kohen Sedek Gaon says, in order to be Mekayim both of them, Shachri you say Avaraba, and Arbit you say Avat Olam. And this is the Minhag. And he says, and we find this also in the Sidur of Rabbi Amram Gaon, right? And Mar Bar Sar Shalom. But Rav Shrira Gaon and Rav Hai Gaon say that they don't believe Rav Sar Shalom said this. And they'd never seen any of the yeshivot of the Geonim, right? Any of the, he says, whether you're in Persia, whether you're in Iran or in Syria, is where the Jews were living at the time, that you won't see any of the yeshivot who were doing this. The correct Nusach, he says, is Avat Olam. However, the Torah and the Ashkenazic poskim go after the Sakhra of the. This hachra of the Geonim, and he says that no, you should do this. So the custom of the Ashkenazim, as is brought by the Ramah, is to say Ava Rabba, and the custom of Sfaradim and also the Yemenites. I double checked. I have the app on my iPad now, so I could double check just to be sure. It says both in the Rambam in the Yad HaChazakah, the Rambam in what we call the Rambam, right? The Rambam, we call the Rambam in the Rambam. The Rambam in the Mishneh Torah, the Yad HaChazakah, has his entire Sidur in the back over there. So he says to say Avat Olam, and the Yemenites' custom is to follow that, as well as most things to follow HaRambam, but also in the Yemenite Siddurs also to say Avat Olam. I wanted just to end up with an interesting question. Well, now that we understand, okay, a little bit, that there's this idea of Avar 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 Olam, so the fundamental question is, who cares? Like, what's the difference? We have this Sifin Shalchan Aruch, and it says, okay, so on one hand, you have this halakha, and you say Avat Olam, and then the Ramah says, no, Avar Avar. What's the difference? So to begin with, the Abu Darham, others say that the word Avat Olam comes from a pasuk in Yirmiyahu, in which he says that I have loved you, Avat Olam Avticha, I have loved you forever. I have loved you forever, and so as a result, we say that back in the Tefillah. So I was looking for... So what's with Avar Abba? So where does it come from? So interestingly enough, so I found the Mishnah Berurah, and he says... I look for his source, and he says it says Pashut. it makes sense. We'll be searching more, maybe I would say hope. We'll be searching more for another source for it. But it seems as Chadash and Bakarim, Rabbah Munatecha. The Ava Rabbah is that your belief is great. Ava Rabbah Munatecha, Chadashim Bakarim is, I believe, the Pasuk from Echa, in which he says that the Pasuk says that Hashem always believes in us. This is Rabbah Munatecha. And as a result, that's the source. So it gives a different spin than on what does this piece mean. Mm-hmm. When I open up the Sidur, and we know that we're going from Ava, from Yotzer Or, and we're finishing with Shema, how does this key in? So let's just finish up with the words of Rav Soloveitchik. It's brought in the Lustiger Sidur. They put out a Sidur called Sidur Mesorat HaRav, in which they took pieces from different places from Soloveitchik about the Sidur. So Soloveitchik says, accepting the yoke of heaven should be a reaction of man to nature, as it should be clear that behind the cosmic drama is an infinite will which commands everything. Ava Rabbah, or Olam, describes how every Jew must respond to moral law in the same way as a Jew the nature responds to the cosmic law. So what happens? What's this piece doing here of Ava Rabbah, or Avat Olam? You go, you open up a Sidur, and we just finished Yotzer Or. We talked about Melachim, we talked about planets, we talked about all these unbelievable things. And that there is a cosmic law that is Machriya, that is Machniya, that makes all of them go. And that's what the paragraph from Yotzer Or to Yotzer HaMi'orot is all about. Right? It's all about that there's a force behind it. And then we come to Ava Rabbah. And the Rav says, so to begin with, we understand. So coming from this mind frame of Yotzer Or, we say there's a power behind that, and then there's a power that also tells us what to do also. There's a moral law. And out of that sense of moral law, then a person is mekabel ol mafut shemayim. A person accepts Hashem's yoke, as Hashem as the king of the world. Hashem is the master of all reality. That's why it leads us from Yotzer Or till Shema. And then there's one other piece from the Rav in a different place, where he says, anyone that says that Judaism commands the individual to love God, but does not promise reciprocal love, is a heretic. Right? So he says, we're about to say Shema, which is, V'ahavta et Hashem Elokecha, right? You should love God. So what do we start off with? Ahavat Olam, right? That God, you've always loved us too. Right? You've loved us, and we've loved you. And that's also the feeling that this piece is evoking. This piece has these two that we're about to come. We spoke about the cosmic law. We spoke about things that are so even pushing the limits of our understanding, right? Before the Big Bang, pushing, and there's this hand that controls all of it that bangs the Big Bang, as it were. And now that hand comes to us in this amount of love, and as a result, that's why we say Shema. And that's what this piece over here is doing. That's it. So then, Ava Rabbah, Avat Olam, so then we're going to understand, if we're getting into diyuk, then what is the nature of this love? Is this a love which is eternal? And there's more to talk about it, hopefully in a different shiur, because it's a short shiur, but what's the nature of this love that Hashem is bestowing on us? Is it an Avat Olam, or is it an Ava Rabbah? Is it a love which is eternal and forever, or a love which is greater along with his belief in us? So we'll begin to pry a little bit more as we start to learn another couple of halachot about this paragraph and see how all of these concepts play together. Again, what's the nature of the bracha smucha l'chaverta, that it's connected and it's not connected? What does that mean? Also, what does that mean, the birchat Torah? But all the while, keeping in mind that this is the piece that the Sidur is trying to teach us. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you.